Beloved, pray with me. O God, whose love is beyond imagining, whose grace flows freely, never ceasing, whose mercy is deeper than the oceans, wider than the skies. Come now through the power of your Holy Spirit and continue to fill our hearts with your presence. Open our minds to your truth and guide our steps towards your path of peace so that we may apply your word to our lives. Be transformed and become living witnesses of your power to the world. In Christ we pray. Amen. So this month we're reflecting together on a series called Matters of the Heart. I finally got it right. As Reverend Mary Kate shared last week, as we prepare for our 70th celebration, we want to spend some time reflecting on who we are and who God continues to call us to be. So each week this month, we are challenging ourselves to live out some heart-centered values like love, peace, service, and forgiveness. Last week, we heard from Reverend Mary Kate as she preached a powerful sermon on love. Love not as a feeling that makes us feel tingly inside, but love as divine reality that refuses to give up on us. Mary Kate pointed out that since God's very nature is love, God refuses to give up on the hearts of those created in the divine image and calls us to reflect the same love outwardly. She reminded us time and time again that God is love and we are loved not because of the things we do, think, or say. We are loved because God loves us. We are created in his image. And if we love, God abides in us. So we began the series by focusing on love because love is the foundation that sustains and supports all other matters of the heart. As the Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 13, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Because love is from God. God is love. And because we are loved, we are then empowered through love. Today, we build on this concept by visiting the Apostle Paul and his letter to the church in Rome, particularly his call for us to express love through peace. So hear these words from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty. That is arrogant. I had to look it up. But associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. After the Gospels and Acts, if I had one book and only one book to recommend to each and every one of you for your daily reading, it would be the book of Romans. This book of the New Testament offers context for all that we may read in the scriptures of the Old Testament. And beyond that, the book of Romans has a way of calling out people of faith to a higher standard of living and being. If you get through the book of Romans and don't feel that the Apostle Paul stepped on your toes, you either have already reached sanctification or somehow you read another book. Because Paul comes for all of us in this letter. Because in Romans, Paul addresses the human condition, and he calls us all to realize our need for divine grace, our need for forgiveness, our needs to continue to grow in the likeness of Christ. And here in our focus text for today, Paul is building on the foundation of love, calling us to genuinely express love through the reality of peace. Peace, not as in the absence of war or conflict, but peace as a condition of the heart that allows us to relate to others in genuine and incarnational ways. But let me tell you, I am old enough to know that peace is not always easy. We live in a culture that seems to insist on perfecting the art of hating others, and it can be hard to know how to cultivate peace in such a world. Yet the apostle urges us to take a radically different approach to this matter. He challenges us to make peace not just a lofty ideal, but a lived reality, one that begins in our hearts and flows outwardly into our relationships, our communities, and even our interactions with those who we may consider to be our enemies. The apostle said, if it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Peace, as Paul describes, is not passive. It is not the mere absence of conflict or a quiet tolerance of injustice. Peace, in the biblical sense, is active. It is rooted in the love of God and calls us to seek the good of others, even in the face of opposition. This is why the apostle says, do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. We are called not to avoid conflict, but to be peacemakers, which often requires us to overcome our instincts for retaliation and self-preservation. And I'll be honest and confess that until a month ago, I had not given any thought to the difference between being a peacemaker and being a peacekeeper. And I sat in a meeting with our new bishop, Bishop Graves, and he spoke about this reality. He said that he was called to be a peacemaker and not a peacekeeper. And I became so curious that I asked him to expand on what exactly he meant and what is the distinction between one and the other. And the bishop went on to say that peacekeepers often create surface-level peace to make sure that all people are appeased. But peacemakers, on the other hand, lean into discomfort and see the difference, opportunities and differences as a way for us to get to the heart of the matter and seek to grow. For him, he said that the goal of peacemaking is not superficial harmony, but it is mission-driven. It is to arrive at a place where all people have taken deep thought to what will it take for us truly to live with one another, not because we are good people, but because God calls us to be the type of people that mirrors to the world the love of Christ. And therefore, we move together forward as transformed individuals. Peacemaking doesn't make losers and winners, but it creates a new community that is assured that their interests are at the hearts of all others who participate in the process. The Apostle Paul knows that this isn't an easy task. In fact, he acknowledges that sometimes peace may not be fully possible, as he writes, if it is possible so far as it depends on you. I think that Paul is a realist, someone who experienced his fair share of conflict. Read his letters. Paul had issues with everybody. No one was exempt. So I think that he knew that there are times when peace may not be achievable due to the actions or the hearts of others, or sometimes even ourselves. But he places the responsibility squarely on us. On each one of us should do everything within our power to pursue peace, regardless of how others choose to respond. This means that peace isn't contingent on its external circumstances. It is a condition of the heart that we are called to cultivate, regardless of all the things that are happening around us. Jesus, as he prepared to ascend, told his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus offered his disciples and all of us something that they could not gain for themselves, which is peace. Peace is not our work. It is God's work in us through the power of the Spirit. Every time that I pray for somebody, I have made a practice to pray that God will grant them the one thing that we cannot do for ourselves, which is peace of mind and heart. It is impossible for us on our own to arrive there. So our inability to live in peace with others, our inability to have peace for ourselves, says something about the state of our souls. The apostle reminds us of the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It is not one or the other. It's all of these things together growing in us, taking root in our hearts, enabling us to do and will as Christ would do. So what does that look like in practice for us? And the apostle gives us some very concrete examples about the internal reality of peace. He tells us, bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Do not repay evil with evil. These are just platitudes. They are markers of a life lived in alignment with God's peace. When we bless those who persecute us, we are embodying the radical love of Christ by refusing to allow hatred and bitterness to take root in our hearts. When we rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, we are acknowledging the shared humanity we all possess. We are seeing the other as one created in the divine image, just as we are created. We are choosing to enter into their reality with empathy and love. And one of the most challenging aspects of this passage is Paul's instructions to bless rather than curse. Regarding those who persecute us. And this goes against everything our culture teaches us about how to respond to conflict, about how to be a responsible human in our world. The world tells us to protect ourselves, to lash out when done wrong, to seek revenge. But our faith calls us to do something else. Our faith calls us to live as witnesses of the one whose very act of love and life was self-sacrifice and death on a cross. And he calls us to trust that God's justice is greater than our own. When Paul says, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, It doesn't mean that we passively accept wrongdoing, but rather that we trust that God's justice will prevail and that we are freed to pursue peace instead of vengeance. We do not have to be tied to the actions of others, but we can move forward for ourselves, with our hearts, in sound unity with the heart of God. Because we know that at the end of the day, God got our back. Our world has seen its fair share of hatred and pain. And what the world needs from us, people of faith, is a new way of living and being, a way that lifts us all up from the darkness of despair into the light of hope. In his writings, Dr. Martin Luther King reminds us that hate is just as injurious for the hater as it is for the hated. He says that like unchecked cancer, hate corrodes the personality and eats away its vital unity. He says that many of our inner conflicts are rooted in hate. This is why he says that psychiatrists say love or perish, because hate is too great a burden to bear. Over the last few years, I began to notice something about myself. This is a spoiler alert. If you were looking for a perfect pastor, the cabinet really missed it, because it's not me. So you may learn a thing or two about me that says, ooh, he lives life kind of like the rest of us do. And I think that's a good thing, because we are all on a journey of sanctification. But I started to notice something about myself, that I may hold grudges against a person or two or more. And I walk around holding that with myself, and I notice that that doesn't affect those other people. That they move on with their lives just as if all of the hatred that I'm holding and cultivating in my heart did not matter to them. And that's painful to me, because I want them to be as preoccupied with me as I am with them, but somehow that's not how it worked. So the Spirit decided to convict me that perhaps I need to do something for myself, not because of them. I needed to free myself from those feelings, not because those people deserved it, but because God called me to do it for the sake of my own soul. The working out my soul salvation was dealing with my heart and the internal conditions of it. It had nothing to do with how people treated me. The call to live peaceably, therefore, is a call to live in a countercultural way. It is a call to reject the narratives of division and hatred and fear that pervade our world, and instead embrace the way of Christ, a way marked by love and compassion and reconciliation. And this call is one for not just for the easy moments of life. It is a call that requires us to live with intentionality at all times with all people. It is for the moments when peace seems impossible, when we are hurt and misunderstood and wronged. It is for the moments that we feel that the entire world is against us. And if we can just say this one thing, they will know. It is in moments like that that we are invited to trust in the God who is our peace. It is in those moments that we are called to embody that peace and allow it to be our witness to others. How can we be peacemakers in our everyday lives? What does it mean to bring peace into our families, in our workplaces, in our communities? How can we, like Christ, be instruments of God's peace in a world that desperately needs it? One of the key challenges Paul gives us is not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. And this is more than just advice. It is a way of life. It is a daily practice. It is something that we do day by day, sometimes hour by hour, sometimes minute by minute, and sometimes every second. Evil seeks to pull us into its grip, to make us respond with hatred and bitterness or revenge. But as followers of Christ, we are called to resist this temptation. We are called to respond with goodness and let our lives reflect the peace of Christ in every circumstances, every circumstance. Beloved, living in this way is not always easy, but it is our call. When we live with a heart of peace, we not only reflect the love of God to others, but we also become witnesses of the transforming power of the gospel. Our world is in desperate need of peacemakers, people who are willing to live differently, who are willing to pursue reconciliation, who are willing to pursue forgiveness, not for the sake of themselves, but for the sake of the one who gave his all for us. And it is hard work. I love the Bible, because if we read the Bible deeply and carefully, we see the reality of our own lives. We see that holding a grudge is not something that we invented. There are a whole lot of stories in the Bible about people who held grudges. A whole lot of them. I like to remind people that Peter, after having walked with Jesus and having his feet washed and having dined with him, he still carried a sword and reacted in vengeance against somebody who was set on hurting his friend. And if there was hope for him, there's hope for all of us. The Bible is more than just a book of stories. It is a mirror that is placed in front of us that invites us to engage with our own lives in the reality that we live. And it sets a high standard, a standard that is not, that we are not able to achieve on our own, but only through the power of the Holy Spirit in community with others. That is why this space matters. That is why living in community matters. That is why Sunday school and Bible study and prayer meetings and all of those things are important for our lives, because we get to share the reality of who we are with others. It is important for us to lean into the discomfort and to the reality that we are humans. We are created good. God created us and said, "This is very good. These people are good." He said, "Even Jefferson, he is good." And then we walked away and we are on our journey back home. And walking by yourself is not a whole lot of fun. We need companions for the journey. We need people who can remind us who we truly are, who can support us when we fall, who can sit with us when we need some time of rest, who can perhaps even carry us for part of the way. It is the invitation of faith for us to do this thing together. So as we go into this new week, we are invited to reflect on what areas of our lives God is calling us to be peacemakers. Where can each one of us actively work towards peace, even if it seems impossible? And who are the people that will journey with you? Whether we know it or understand it or not, the reality of peace in our lives is, as I said, not our work. It is God's work in us. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, this reality is possible today, tomorrow, and always. So may we go forth from this place filled with the love of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding, ready to be instruments of God's peace in the world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.